MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, listen.
Keep or to delete it? The ultimate question philosophers of gaming have pondered low these many millennium. Long before video games were ever invented, which is super fucking weird. Mm. Hey everyone, it's Michael Swaim and his buddy Adam Ganser. Say hi,
that's
Adam.
That's me, and that was weird.
Wee! It's weird that they did that.
Yeah.
Speaking of old-timey philosophers, can we just pre-agree to drop the Forgotten City off the hard drive?
Right.
Okay, done.
Yeah.
That's a done deal.
Done.
All right.
Done.
Hey, this is One Upsmanship, a show where two pals discuss video games, and specifically you found yourself in the hard drive, what do you call it?
This is
twiddling
like a
hard drive retrospective?
Yeah, once a year roughly, sometimes more, but once a year we've decided to go through the hard drive and do a little, you know, pre-spring cleaning, sort of, hey, did we get all this right? Are we happy with what's on there? This is where we go back and revisit some difficult choices that we made and say, do we agree with that? Or get rid of some stuff that we're embarrassed was in there in the first place. Sorry.
Yeah,
R.I.P.
So
R.I.P.
If you follow the show, you know we do a thing every episode where we decide whether the game should go on a celestial hard drive that can only hold 100 games that will represent the medium of video gaming. Like as if we were going to shoot it into space. So, you know, we also have emotions and opinions and we bounce off of each other and things change from day to day. I might be, what does Scrooge say? Moldering from a bit of cheese. That's anyway, no one cares.
Does he say that?
you might be but a bit of mustard in my stash. Someone out there knows what I'm referencing. Anyway, yeah, this is where we go back and we get to nominate saying, you know, I either disagreed with you, my good buddy, and I want you to reconsider eating your words possibly, or I reconsider what I thought. I want to change it. So this is where we get to go back and change things. And as referenced, we each get five basic like pitches. We get five pitches per every time we do this.
Yeah.
And we pre-agreed that taking Forgotten City from a keep to a delete would not count as one of our slots. So
we've been joking about it all year. We've been like, this is why did we do it?
Yeah. If you've listened to the show, you know, basically it is a very good game. It's very fun. We got excited. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you get excited.
We talked ourselves into it. Yeah.
We talked ourselves into how clever it was. And in a rush of foolish enthusiasm, we greenlit it. But then we looked back at our list and we're like, you know, the games that really have that aura of like a timeless addition to the medium, like Super Mario Odyssey, The Last of Us, Portal 2. And we're like, Forgotten City, do you really belong there? So that's a delete. But the rest will be controversial.
I think so.
And if you are from the Forgotten City team and you were like thrilled to be on the hard drive, I mean, enjoy it while it lasted, right? All things must pass.
Yeah. We love you guys.
You were on there.
We love you guys.
It will never not be true that you were on there for a period of time. Yeah. You just aren't now.
That's accurate.
Who should go first?
I'll go first, but just like a couple, I want to remind everybody some of the conversations we've had about
the rules
in the past. Yeah.
Okay, just context.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So like one thing we decided last year, and I want to bring it up again, is we don't make decisions on what goes on the hard drive based on how we feel about other games in the franchise or in the series. Like, so we don't look ahead and say, that's the one I'll keep. This is the one I would, you know what I mean? Like, we don't do that.
We do it sometimes. We try not
to. That's what I mean.
Here's the thing about these rules. It's like Star Trek and the Prime Directive. We talk a lot about how it's the most important thing, but we still break it sometimes.
That's right.
And that's our fault.
So part of what we'll end up doing here is, I think, enforcing that rule a little bit more strictly.
Okay.
At least I think that should be an
argument.
I
don't like the sound of
that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, sure. Yeah. That was like the big thing we agreed on last time. The other thing I would say is, bringing up something that's already been knocked down in one of these sessions is a little bit fruitless. So I'm not going to do that.
Oh, you mean bringing up a thing a third time?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Like, the obvious would be like, keep pitching GTA 5 until I just roll my eyes and go, fine, dude, that's fine. Like, that's not what we're doing
here.
Agreed.
So I'm not going to do that unless there's been some conversation between you and I.
Compelling reason.
Correct.
Yeah.
Like, there's new context. Otherwise, I'm not going to do that. Those are the things I just wanted to make clear.
I love shooting random strangers now. I'm into it now.
Yeah, things have really changed.
I will say,
in 2022.
That actor who plays Trevor, though, I've come to love him as an actor more and more. He's in so much.
He's
good stuff.
Really good too. I think
he's
good
really
as
good.
Trevor.
All the he always plays a creep, but he's great. Yeah.
It's a great performance. But we're not going to keep that game. We've gone over it before.
A poorly written material. But
so
yeah.
I'm going to start with what I think is one of the less controversial ones I have today.
Ease us in, baby.
I'm gonna ease us in. Okay, so I've been replaying this game over the winter because there was a big patch to it. But the game I'd like us to reconsider first.
It's bringing Tunic back, baby.
I almost wrote it down for a bit. No, it's The Witcher 3, The Wild Hunt.
You have been playing.
I have been playing
Nauseam.
It.
I've seen,
I've loved it. So just a couple arguments in favor of The Witcher 3. First is, it's one of the better... one of the better like open world RPGs, if not maybe the best open world RPG. It's very good. It's very good in terms of traversal. It's beautiful to look at, to get around in. It is consistently like tonally well executed. Everything feels like it's in that sometimes slightly like humorous, but mostly sort of morose and pensive tone. That's great. And they really nail it. I think the character of Geralt is a pretty good character. And I think that we learn a lot about who he is from not only the choices we make, but from the situations that he ends up in. And they're all really well crafted. Like, there's a lot of moral decision making in RPGs. That's kind of like one of their big bread and butter things. I think The Witcher 3 has some of the best of that. And I would say in general for like relevance to pop culture, if that's a category, and I would say it needs to be a little bit of a category, The Witcher 3 is one of the most important games in the last 10 years. It spawned a Netflix series, which has been a huge hit. It's based on source material people really like. It is a great new fantasy, I say new, but it's not that new, property that people are really excited about.
No, it's a book
about.
Series originally,
yes.
Yeah.
And more than anything else, the side quests in The Witcher 3 are stellar. They're still really good. Like, they have twists and turns you don't expect. They're well-told versions of folk tales that you may or may not be familiar with. It's a great game. I think it deserves reconsideration. What say you, Mike?
First of all, the Netflix series is mediocre.
It's okay.
At best.
It's
all right. Okay. It's fine.
Yeah, I like
it. It's fine. You won't haggle me up to I like it. You got
me
but up
I do
to
like
it's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. That's acceptable.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is probably not the turn everyone expected, but I'm having a really horrible time in my personal life right now. Mm. So I'm going to like curl up into a fetal position and just say, that's fine. Like, everyone likes it. Let it through. But I'll tell you why I don't like it's fine.
Yeah,
let it through.
Reiterate why you don't like it.
Yes. Witcher 3 is one of the ones that everyone's, I just don't have it in me to like argue about it. But I just want to ask questions.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you say best open world, what really got me was best open world RPG, like period.
It's one of them.
Like, or do you mean medieval? Because Ghost of Tsushima, like, does it beat Ghost of Tsushima for
you?
Yeah,
it does. Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's better
than Ghost
of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima is head and shoulders above Witcher 3 to me for fun factor and interest in the story. Although I agree, best side quests in the game in terms of, well, they do what the book series does and they do what Hellboy does, mm-hmm. which is they take folklore unrelated to, only related by the fact that he hunts monsters.
Right.
And they go like, so here's a cool little folktale about some unique kind of monster. Man, that's pretty cool. You can't really beat that for cool
it's really
factor.
Good. Yeah.
I don't find it that beautiful to walk around the Witcher 3 realms. B, I found the main plot good, fine, serviceable. C, I find the combat and the complexity of the systems, much like Cyberpunk as well, to some degree. CDPR doesn't know how to balance a game where you need to use all the different things. They just know how to do a big pile of stuff and shove it at you, and that bothers me. Meaning in Witcher 3, and I think this will resonate with people out there, once your sword is good enough, why would you ever do anything? Just slash the thing five times instead of four times.
Yep.
Like, you'd never add the oils or the all this extra stuff. And to me, that makes it not even an RPG. Like, that makes it a failure of game design.
But you can choose, as a counterpoint, you can choose builds that emphasize different aspects of the combat. Like, you can be a great crossbow guy if you want to be that. You can be a great signs guy if you want to be that.
I guess I just feel like the best RPG of all time would incentivize those things. Like, I don't know. I'd give it to, like, probably Morrowind or something like that.
There's some I haven't played that I'm sure are great.
He said letting The Witcher 3 on the drive, mainly because of peer pressure.
Boy, you really love
that I sense from the universe.
Wait a minute. Don't let it on because of peer pressure. Stand your
ground.
Well,
no, another thing about the drive is because people have said, or like it has to, I think this goes without saying when you're analyzing pop culture, but sometimes wags will come on the internet and go, you know, that's just your opinion, man. And I just want to say, yeah, yeah, no,
yeah,
of course.
That's all ever has been. Yeah.
Right. So like, I find The Witcher 3 kind of dumb. The fact that it has body playing cards and I don't know. It's just, I didn't get a lot out of it. It
wasn't
fun to
me. Not in this game. There are no body playing cards in this game. That might have been true in a previous Witcher.
There's Showtime style need to add ribald sex scenes.
Oh, in the sex scenes. Yeah, sure.
Because of the fact that the books also do that. And I'm saying, here's a weird thing about me that can also make people hate me. I don't care. I hate them too. seriously, guys, it's rough at home. But what was I gonna say? Oh, once I had hardcore pornography available to me at any time I require it, and also beyond that, I've had sex X number, you know, not to brag, but in excess of a dozen times.
Kind of to brag.
Now that I'm in my mid 30s, right? I'm like, sex lacks the mystery that it had when I was a pubescent teen, meaning. When I see sex scenes in stuff that I'm watching that I am interested in, like even Game of Thrones, why do I want to be horny now? This is a waste of storytelling time. I'm here to watch a story. Like even in Game of Thrones, I'm like, the sex scenes are literally boring to me because if I wanted to go get horny, there's other kinds of video content for that that's way more effective than whatever.
Yeah.
So like to me, a sex scene is filler material.
Yeah, don't give him any of
and a big knock against your
don't give
him
any of that
property.
Strained cocaine. He wants the pure shit.
The fact that it's baked into the Witcher universe that we have to pause for sex scenes is really annoying to me. There's all these little things that make it, I don't know. I played it through and I didn't think it was fun. Everyone seems to like it. It's an Elden Ring for me.
Okay. I mean, I appreciate. Okay. I guess I appreciate your generosity then. Please, something you love, sir. Something you like that you want to convince me on.
Then I got a minor. This is not what people come to this podcast for. And Adam's like, what are you doing, dude? Probably. But the degree to which I can mask the emotional issues I have is reaching its limit. So some of it's seeping through. Okay. And I say that because I'm like, I think I only shit on stuff. No, here's a positive one. All right, I'll go to my one that's
great.
Key.
Great.
But I think tell me if this breaks your rule.
Let's see.
Because you said, and I don't know if I agree with this, that everything should be considered what? Not in reference to other things on the drive?
No, not.
I don't want horse trading, not in but I reference also do to, want.
Not pending on, like, you don't make a decision on the game, this game, based on a ruling you're going to make later on a game in that franchise that you haven't done yet.
Ah, yeah. So let me just say the sequence of events and you tell me if me bringing this up breaks that rule in your mind. Psychonauts was deleted, assuming that we would keep 2. And then when we did cover 2, Adam and the guests did try to keep it. And I blocked it because I was like, I didn't like it as much as 1. So I am now officially using my slot to lobby to keep 1, Psychonauts 1.
Oh, so you want me to undo my change, the change I made? Because I retroactively deleted it.
You retroactively deleted Psychonauts 1 in the interest of keeping Psychonauts 2.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going ballsy and arguing that we should keep Psychonauts 1, and I'll explain why. Okay. But I will also admit that if you block it, then next time we do this, I'll argue that we keep Psychonauts 2, and I'll take back my delete. Okay. But I still think we should keep 1 after imbibing both again back to back. Just because Psychonauts 2 is a refinement of what they did in 1. It took like 12 years or whatever to come out. And I do believe that in some cases, refinement is what's really key to a game's success. And in some cases, or a piece of art success. And in some cases, it's the idea. And I really think Psychonauts is more about the idea. Like when you go wow about Psychonauts, as we've discussed, and I eventually admitted, it's not that the gameplay is the tightest gameplay you've ever platformed. It's the idea of going into each other's heads. Oh, and when you go into their heads, you learn secrets about them that illuminate their characters. Very clever way to dispense story. Blah, 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 blah. And my point being, all the cool stuff to me, like the collective unconscious being how you link the levels together and revisit old chapters and figments of your imagination being the collectible, and you know, all these references to emotional baggage is literalized, and that's just like the Yoshi coins you can pick up each level. If you get enough emotional baggage, it unlocks a little slideshow of something illuminating about that character's psyche, blah 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 blah, all the cool stuff. Sorry, last one that comes to mind always, teleporting being a balloon instead of actually just levitating. I thought that was so cool. That's all present in 1, and even though 2 builds on it and is a great story and does it even better, I actually thought the supporting cast in 1 was more compelling. The supporting cast in 2 is more cookie cutter, and Raz is more is just as enjoyable in 2 as he is in 1, and so is Crawler. Like, everything that's special about the franchise, I believe, exists in 1, and in those cases, I try to give it to 1 because I do think there's something about birthing the initial thing. Whereas there are other cases where I do believe something like Assassin's Creed is maybe the poster child. A franchise is designed to be iterative, and you look at it almost like wines where you're like, this was a good year, this was a good year. But you don't have to pick, Assassin's Creed 1 is not necessarily the best Assassin's Creed. I think we can all agree. Whereas I do think Psychonauts 1 is the real work of artistic genius here.
Well, no, I don't disagree with what you did here. I think it's fine. I'm going to tell you something.
Fine to bring up.
Yeah, okay. No, it's fine. Yeah. That was a good argument for it. I agree with your statement about most of the innovative things are in Psychonauts 2. The reason I deleted it was that I didn't enjoy it that much. Like, I didn't have fun playing it. I did think.
And was that because of the clunkiness of the 3D platforming, if I recall?
Yeah. I mean, I have strong feelings about 3D platformers, I guess, is a thing I'm realizing. based on a few of the entries here and then some stuff we're going
to
cover.
And it's funny because would you agree that it's like 75 to 80% tight? But man, a 3D platformer really needs to be 99% to 100% tight.
Yeah,
for you to
the
really,
windows.
It's an art.
The
yeah.
window is very narrow. Yeah, and also I think there's something about nostalgia in 3D platformers I'm finding too, because like you go back and play Mario Brothers 1, and it's really hard to play, and yet it would be hard for me to if we ever covered it on this podcast to delete it, because it's like, dude, this is the best video game ever when it came out, and it's like defined video games. Come on now, like that's how I'd feel about it, even though it's not that great to play now. I mean, that's the truth. And a refinement in that case was a lot better. Super Mario 3 is a lot better than Super Mario Brothers. Anyway, point being,
there's multiple games on the list where if you strictly cared about how tight is this gameplay compared to modern standards,
it wouldn't succeed. You're right.
Right.
You're right about
that. That's
not
always the bar.
I really think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I really think Psychonauts 2 had some creative ludonarrative stuff that like actually made it a little better to me than Psychonauts 1.
It did. I agree. I think they squeezed out 5 or 6 more cool ideas. I'm just saying the lion's share of the ideas were present, and then they squeezed out a few more.
So then I guess what I'm...
That are also clever.
I guess what I'm really... Okay, fair enough. Then I guess what I'm really ruling on is, does this world and this sort of way of telling this story deserve to be enshrined? Like,
well, also, hey, man, that is what you're voting on in one sense if the franchise makes it at all. But I don't mean to make this decision too big on your shoulders, but I also think you're kind of judging whether video games being an iterative art form, does firstness matter
right.
or does flawlessness right. matter, which
yeah.
is more important.
Is it Tesla or Edison?
Does it matter that franchise event X eventually got there by the seventh one? The seventh one's so good. Or does it matter that franchise Y knocked it out of the park with the idea first time through?
I do some true casuistry on this podcast. Okay, I'm going to let this one on. I'm going to go back. I'm going to keep it. And Woo! I never want to talk about Psychonauts again. I understand your argument.
This will prevent you from having to talk about Psychonauts 2.
Yeah, I understand. And I think in this case, because it has such a strong place in your heart, I think that matters a little bit in our conversation. Like, it's sort of like you kept Elden Ring, and I know that you don't love it. But I do love it. And if you hadn't kept it, I'd be like, what the fuck, man? I want my video game show to have Elden Ring in it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what this is a little bit. Like, I think that this is a core game for you. And I do like it. So I'll keep it. Consider it kept forever. I'll never unkeep it now until we have 100 games on here. And then we can talk about it again.
Are you updating the doc?
I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to do it.
Please
as
do.
We speak.
And as he does that, I think we should take our first break.
Please, because I can't do 3 things at once.
Yeah, so you type with your precious angel fingers, and we'll be right back to discuss, oh boy, 8 more meaty games and whether they make it on the drive or not. See you on the other side.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What does optimism look like? I'm on a quest to find the people who inspire us to dream more and do more. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. I talk to all sorts of people, from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to a hairdresser on Instagram who gives out free haircuts to the homeless. From the CEOs of the world's largest companies to the comedy writer who visited the wreckage of the Titanic, I love talking to leaders, artists, authors, and eccentrics about life, leadership, purpose, mental fitness, human skills, high performance, and other curious things. It leaves me feeling wiser, more inspired, and, well, more optimistic. Because after all, this is a bit of optimism. The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look for it. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
We're back.
Yeah.
Just enough time to update that spreadsheet.
That's right.
I mean, celestial hard drive.
That's right.
I like the audience to imagine there's a real hard drive somewhere with these games on
them. We need to. And that'd be great.
When we delete one, we
some giant.
We each grab half the game and we rip it apart and pixels spray out.
Yeah, like a finishing move in Destiny. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Speaking of Destiny.
We should, by the way.
Adam's going to use his slot to just say Destiny's good.
Remember
again.
How good it is? We kept it. That was good. No, so we should at some point figure out a way to publish what is on the hard drive for people so they don't have to remember.
I figured when we got to 100.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay. So here's a game we did not keep but did cover. It's back in our backlog for those of you who joined us after we moved to iHeart. That I think is just a really important game in the history of games and still really fun to play. And that is Assassin's Creed 2. Assassin's Creed 2 is when they figured out the Assassin's Creed formula. What is it? They got all the stealth mechanics correct. They got all the history ninja stuff correct. They had a character who was good enough that we cared about his backstory and wanted to see him succeed. They put it in the right period of history for us to care about it.
It's your other tone.
I mean, they were so afraid of changing it, they made three more games with the guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's how much they thought they'd hit a home run here. And I think he's a good character. He's not even my favorite of the Assassins, but he's a good character. And I don't think Assassin's Creed has rarely had a particularly compelling narrative. This is one of their better ones. Maybe some might argue their best one. But more important than that, this is when it finally felt great to run on these rooftops and do all the tracking missions and do all the stealthy sniping stuff. It felt awesome. They added all the right mini games into it so that it felt like a robust experience, but it wasn't drowning in extra shit to do like Assassin's Creed has become after their fourth or fifth iteration. Like, now it's just like a giant to-do list that's now even an RPG, which is another conversation we'll have someday. This was the best distillation of it. They figured it out. They didn't stray from this formula for, like, I don't know, 10 years. It was a long time until they finally got away from it. And frankly, they're coming back to it because this is a good game loop, and this is the game that figured it out. What do you think, Mike?
If I were to block it, it would be for the reason that you said we're not allowed
to. Which is keeping a different one?
I have a favorite Assassin's Creed we haven't covered that I think is the clear keeper.
Okay.
I plan to keep it when it comes up, and I'll argue for keeping it. But if I weren't considering that, then my stance, my honest stance as a, how far can I get up my own ass? Curator of artistic insight. Yeah,
you did it.
That's good. As a curator of artistic insight, I would say that it is notable enough as a franchise that it deserves to be on the drive for now. If we get to 100 things on the drive,
it's the first to go.
I would argue Assassin's Creed is not the first to go, but probably doesn't survive the long haul to the end of this
like
show.
No Assassin's Creed does, or this
I don't need any Assassin's Creed on the final drive that is buried with me. But that said, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I think it probably is a more notable franchise than I feel about it because they've run it into the ground so thoroughly, much like Call of Duty, that my feelings about it are like diluted. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's their fault. If, I agree with that.
If there were only a couple, if there was only like four, if it was just like Odyssey and Black Flag and two, I might think this is one of the best franchises ever. They really, they milked it till it's blood milk. But my point is, I will allow it. I don't think it'll make it past 100, but I think it belongs here for now. Two is the one, at least in the first leg of the franchise that, I mean, how can I, like I just said with Psychonauts, it established the game loop that then sustained the franchise for the next decade. So what are you going to not?
I'm just curious. Is the one that you...
We're still working with house money. So I got to say, because there's like, we're at like 40. There's only like 40
we'll
on
read
the
whole
right
list
now,
at the
so
end.
So it's fine.
Briefly, like is the one that you're thinking of three? Is that the one that you love? That's your special
I'm only answering because the answer doesn't spoil it, but no.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Like, if you guessed, I wouldn't say yes, because that would spoil
it. I got you. So, I have some favorite sons in this franchise. This is not my favorite of them.
You're making an art curator of insights decision.
Yes. Yeah, this is a little bit more this is what you might call a political decision.
Grading papers and being like, yeah, this franchise was notable historically.
But I would at least like to cover a few other entries here that I think I personally like better, and we'll see how you feel about it. But for now, so it stays. Okay, great. Things are going great. Okay.
All right, during the break, I flipped some of my negatives to positives.
I like it.
So continuing with a positive, this will probably be easy as shit. Okay. But Hades. I'm going to bring back Hades. Vote to bring back Hades. This would be reversing my decision to block it. I blocked it because I wanted to make a point. And I want to make that point again, because it's a point that deserves to be made. But then I'm done and I can step off my soapbox and let Hades be on the drive because I think it deserves to be. And listen, a shocker, Adam has changed his mind since then. But they just announced Hades 2. And I am a novelty hog, as listeners of the podcast will know. So this was very sad to me. A bunch of my IGN friends wrote me and said, Hades 2, I bet you saw that drop, huh? I bet your little pecker was zooming or whatever. You know, the IGN folks all talk like that. Yeah. And zooming around the room, killer style. Yep. And I said, no, in fact, and I feel like this is part of my emotional problems, but I feel like I'm too contrarian, and I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to be. I feel like I shit on everything. I drag everyone's joy down
we
around
literally,
me. Why did I become a reviewer?
Wait, but we literally have this argument on either side of it. But both of us have, like, about are we too contrarian all the time.
I don't want
to. We have it all the time.
I'm just saying I feel it more emotionally than I usually do when I say, I'm not trying to shit on your fun time. These are my genuinely held opinions about video games. But, I'm sad that they're doing Hades 2. I wish they did something else different instead, because I always want something else different. That's just how I am. And I love Supergiant, the team behind Hades. Mm-hmm. I think they're phenomenal, not just Hades, which was their breakthrough hit, but Bastion was phenomenal. Transistor was fucking phenomenal. Transistor's probably my favorite. Pyre was amazing, and no one talks about it. So underrated. Pyre could be like a Rocket League in my mind, but it just didn't catch on in that way. They invent these crazy new game loops that they've never done before over and over, and I wanted to see more of that. So I blocked Hades thinking that Supergiant would one day blah, 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 blah. But now that they've had a big hit and they're going to be locked into making Hades shit forever, I'm like, let's let Hades on so that Supergiant's on the drive, because I really think they need to be. I'm really sad that they're just going to make Hades stuff now going forward, but whatever.
Or that they'll make Hades stuff, hire more people, and make other games too. Like, they might just get bigger.
We'll see.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, it's a bummer that art is also driven by finances. Capitalism
sucks the joy out of everything, ultimately.
I don't think Hades 2 is necessarily a bad thing.
It does both. By the way, if there's capitalism fans out there, I want to say it does both. It incentivizes the thing and drives it to great heights, and then it also stultifies and stagnates it and sucks everything out of it. That's like the course of capitalism's effect on art generally. But yeah.
what a dissertation you're giving today.
There's an arc. Yeah. It has an arc to it. We've seen it. It happened in books. It happened
Think Hades 2 is a bad thing. I understand where you're coming from about it. I just want to say, like, sometimes a game sequel is like, oh, don't do that. And sometimes the game sequel sounds rad. Like, I was disappointed to hear there was a Last of Us 2. I was like, no, dude, there doesn't need to be another game here. And that game was incredible. They're like, incredible game.
When you prove it, yeah, of course, you can always come back and prove why. Yeah. You can earn your weight.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this thing deserves to exist in and of itself because it nailed it.
And I think Hades 2, if anything, deserves to be hyped for that reason.
And maybe I'm just short-sighted, but I'm like, I don't see how the combat and the builds could get more dynamic and unique and shit popping off than Hades 1. So I imagine Hades 2 will just be more of the same. But hey, shut my mouth. Like, I hope I play Hades 2 and I go, oh, they did it again. I'm so stupid. You know, I really hope that. But I just want Supergiant to be on the drive. So I posit that Hades should go on the drive.
I mean, just for those anybody who hasn't played Hades or hasn't heard about Hades, I think it's still the landmark achievement in roguelikes. Like, it proves that genre is here to stay. And it's really well done in terms of storytelling, and it's very fun. So, like, I think you put 200 hours or something into it, Mike. Like, a lot of hours.
Yeah, 275. Yeah. I put it just under Enter the Gungeon, but Adam hates Enter the Gungeon. So yeah. We will never come to an accord on that.
I mean,
that.
We can cover it, but I don't know how you're going to change my heart about that.
Oh, anyway. I'd love to cover it I'd love to someday talk about what so deeply attached me to it, you know, because that's what's fun about this job, right? Is to actually share the joy with people.
Why did I like it?
Yeah. And I could go in knowing it's not going to make it and you're going to say why you didn't like it. That's
I also, if we're ever going to cover a game.
We covered Pokemon Snap.
We sure did.
Like, that's part of the job.
If I'm ever going to cover a game, I try to go in and like erase any experience I had before, because sometimes I was in the bad mood for it or whatever, you know.
No, I don't think you'll like it, but I would still cover it to explain why.
Fair enough. Maybe that'll be on the docket.
All right.
So,
I assume by your demeanor that you're accepting Hades. Oh, okay, great.
I stand by my keep. Okay. Now I'm going to ask for us to both reconsider a game that we both deleted.
That you deleted as well.
I deleted it as well, but I really think in hindsight, we should keep it. And that game is Titanfall 2. I'll tell you why. Titanfall 2, there isn't going to be a Titanfall 3, doesn't sound like. I think Respawn's fully on Apex Legends now. And Titanfall 2 is a revelation in game mechanics for movement in video games. It's super fun.
In two dimensions. Yeah,
yes.
The parkour stuff and the switching dynamically in and out of a mech suit stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff is great. It's perfectly done.
Two separate huge innovations.
It's refined. Yeah. It refined the formula of Titanfall 1. But the other thing that it did that I think, frankly, people don't talk about enough is it told a pretty good story. Like, it has a pretty good story. It has a very memorable character in it, the robot.
Now, here's a story you could haggle me up to saying is
good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
It's good.
I mean, and again, like, in the genre of first-person shooters, there's not that many great stories. There's some, but there's not that many. I'm not arguing that it should be kept because of its story, but I'm arguing its story means, hey, these guys are actually hitting on every level here. Like, they don't have a bunch of deficient areas and then excellent in one area. They have pretty good in a lot of areas and great in the gameplay innovation area. That's my basic argument. How do you feel about it?
I'll let it on. I feel like Dying Light.
Yeah, Dying Light.
Is also really killing it with the parkour.
Boy, I didn't like the second one.
Not to reveal too much, but a game I'm writing for is really trying to capitalize on what Titanfall introduced and is very, very focused on traversal in that way. Okay. I do think in the future, but I could be wrong because we thought this. I still think this. So there was a game even before Breath of the Wild, and I'm going somewhere with this, that had that stamina-based climb anywhere system. I forget what it was called. It was a little indie game where there was like a 10.0 earthquake and you just had to get to the other side of the city to find your family. And you climbed over stuff and it had that stamina system. And basically the only game loop was that climb anywhere stamina system, right? And I don't know if Breath of the Wild saw that or anything, but it did feel like sort of a tech demo for what would ultimately become the Breath of the Wild climb anywhere system. it was such a cool thing that we thought it would get ripped off way more and more. And it hasn't really. I still expect it will someday. Like, I don't, there's no time limit on that. I still think other games will probably use the Breath of the Wild climbing system. And in the same way, I still am flabbergasted that specifically more first-person shooters, I don't even think Valorant does. I know Overwatch doesn't. Don't have the full parkour. It feels so cool. Like to, was Ghost Runner does it, but does with it. only sword fighting. Only swords, though. Like, I can't believe more large-scale first-person shooters. I know there are exceptions. I think the futuristic Battlefield, you can wall-walk a bit or whatever. But way more. There should be first-person shooters where everyone's jumping around like Spider-Man. Like, literally, they should add web-slinging to first-person shooters. Like, I don't know why we aren't innovating 3D traversal first-person shooters. Why aren't we in rocket packs shooting each other? Why aren't we summoning Titans shooting at each other? It's crazy to me that there will be no Titanfall 3. I do think that combining parkour and mechs with FPS will happen in the future. Someone will do it to great success. But until then, I do think it's fine to have a slot dedicated to Titanfall. Like, yeah, if that's going to be the one that stands in for that mix of flavors, that deserves to be on.
Are you a Mirror's Edge guy?
I think we were waiting.
Are you a Mirror's Edge guy?
I think we were waiting for more other games to do it, but they just haven't stepped up to the plate as much. Yes, I liked Mirror's Edge, but that was only
the parkour.
I mean, you do fight. Yeah. Well, you fist fight and you slide under people and hit them in the balls and stuff, but truly not the same as having PvP large scale FPS where people are wall running and shit.
No, yeah, not, I think Titanfall 2 probably didn't invent any of the things that it does really well, but it's done them head and shoulders better than any game I can think of. Yeah, and also, I mean, we didn't talk much about this, but the mech fighting is also super fun. It's really fun. And lots of games have tried to do that, and few of them have been like big hits. That one is great. It's got a great
man. Did you ever play this dual stick arcade game that was a sit-in unit? Cabinet called Virtual On or Virtua On?
I might have it might have been a mini golf place called Camelot where I used to live.
Yeah, mech fighting game that was super good. Yeah, I had it at a family fun center. Anyway, my turn.
Yes, so we're keeping Titanfall 2.
Or keeping everything today.
Keepaganza. Well, we'll see. I have a couple more controversial ones.
This is like a question, I guess. So looking through the list and not having the time to go back and listen to the episode, we both deleted Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
That was gonna be on my list. I was wondering
if we were just making points or being contrarian.
Here's what happened.
I understand that we all, or at least I assume. I'm interested for you to tell me the truth, but without re-listening to the episode, I'm guessing that I just was stumping for Melee because I like the physics
in
Melee specifically.
We both were like, well, Melee is the one we would keep, so we're not going to keep this. That's what we said.
All right, fine. But I will say to our past selves, it's nice that everyone has their version where they're like, and that does give you a sense of ownership over the franchise, right? If you're like, well, you know, the Bugatti, the whatever, I don't know cars, but like, the 1991 Bugatti handles just the way I like. That's my preference. That's the one I like, right? It's a way to express yourself, to have that opinion. Nevertheless, Ultimate is obviously the version of Super Smash Brothers. Yeah. It's got all the boards. It's got all the characters. It's got all the movesets. It's the one that they're continuing to support and expand. We were being stupid. We should just bring back Smash Brothers Ultimate.
They might not make another Smash Brothers for like 10 years. You know,
right. They might feed this one forever. So this should be the one.
I think you're right. That's an easy keep for me. I also,
easy peasy.
In hindsight, I'm like, I also think this might be just better. You know what I mean? Like, I think we might have, like, because we talked about it pretty close to when it released.
It's a much more ambitious feat of game design. We just like the, whatever. We just like what we were used to during our key gaming years.
I think if we went back and played it now that it's been a few years, I think it'd be like, this game is real crisp and real good. Anyway, I have no problem with that. Love it. Love that keep. Okay.
Great. Love that for you.
My next two, buddy. Here we go.
We both have two left, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. We'll take a break after one.
So we'll
do
this one. Okay. Well, this one is just because I've thought more deeply about
it's Pong, partner.
This franchise. I think we should reconsider our, I believe, mutual, yep, mutual delete.
Here comes GTA 5.
No, I would never do that.
Uh-huh.
Our mutual delete of Uncharted 4. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, a thief's end.
I'll tell you why. Uncharted is a great video game franchise. It's really good. It's really good at storytelling. It's great at voice acting. It's kind of a prototype to some of the video game acting we've become accustomed to at this point. And every version of it has, like, it feels a little dated when you go back and play all these versions. But I really think that 4 is the one where they kind of got the formula exactly the way they were trying to get it. Like, they really distilled it to, this is really what the game's supposed to be. Now, I still maintain, and I'm pretty sure I said this, I haven't re-listened to the episode, but it's too long. It is too long. That is a problem with it, and it goes on and on. But I think they picked the right tone for this game. I think they picked the right thing to go after. This, like, pirate utopia, I think, is, like, a cool thing for them to be finding. I think, even though it's a little bit lame, I also think the grafted-on older brother thing pays off in a satisfying way, the way that none of the other games had quite the same level of pathos that this one did. I think that they wrap up the series, or at least this wing of the series, in really satisfying style. And I think it's a really fun game to play. Like, it's not my favorite shooter. It's not even my favorite climber, but it's really good at all the things that it does. So I really think if we're ever going to keep an Uncharted, this might be the one. What do you think?
What was the name of the DLC?
Oh yeah, it wasn't a DLC. It was a separate game, right? It was
The standalone, but I forget what it was called.
Uncharted Legacy of Thieves.
It's not a thief.
No, Sam. Among Thieves.
The Lost Legacy.
Lost Legacy.
Thank you.
That's what it is.
Thank you.
That's the one.
I'm gonna block that. I'm gonna block that. I would consider keeping Lost Legacy over Uncharted. Any Uncharted.
Really?
I would say at the end of the day, Uncharted's not an interesting franchise and doesn't deserve to be on the drive. Period. Across the board. Uncharted.
Why?
Done. Done. Uncharted. And I'll explain myself. Multiple reasons. I'm sure I said this on the Uncharted episodes, but yes, the writing of 4 was the best of all 4. It feels like they grew through doing Last of Us and they brought those skills to bear. The combat, the encounters also got better in Uncharted 4 and more Last of Us-like. The most fun part is still stealthing around, swimming up to a guy, stealth killing him. Oh no, I got spotted. Shooting breaks out. And that's pretty much a Naughty Dog staple that I don't really lay at the feet of Uncharted alone. So the things that make it, that make Uncharted uniquely Uncharted to me, which I would then call like the artistic offering, is the gunplay sequences, which are every time I played an Uncharted growing up, I played Uncharted 1 and thought, the gunplay is not great, but I'll muscle through. I thought the same thing when I played 2 and 3. And then 4, I was like, it's finally good because it's equivalent to Last of Us's gunplay. But man, every Uncharted, the gunplay is pretty rough. They're good at climbing around. But if I was going to give a crown to a climbing around champion, it would be Prince of Persia for my money. So I'll save that for that. And then as far as what it is Indiana Jones. It is mellow yellow to Indiana Jones's Mountain Dew. Nothing about it. He's a generic white brown haired guy who's generally friendly, murders a million people without any sense of guilt or PTSD. And, you know, just goes about his business being like an adventure dude. I don't care about that story anymore. Those guys. Indiana Jones did it. We're done with that. That was like 50 years ago. Also, if you just retitled it like Indiana Jones, the games, I think it would be even more obvious how you're like, oh, yeah, these aren't that good. We just like Indiana Jones. It never makes sense. And I know some people say, who cares about that? It bothers me to no degree. Why are there these giant contraptions that everything around them is in ruins, but these giant stone contraptions still work 1,000 years later that are based on like shooting lasers at a geyser?
I don't know why you're doing this.
Why would an ancient civilization do that? Why would those things exist and be that way? Lost Legacy was the only one that felt like a grounded, contained, compelling story to me. All the other ones just feel like we're just doing Indiana Jones. We're just throwing some shit.
They're also doing Indiana Jones.
Don't care about
the
brother. Don't care about Sully. I mean, dude, I'm playing through Last of Us 2 right now, and I just got to say, I care. I even care now about Mel. I care about Mel's baby. I care about Dina. And I never cared about Uncharted Boy's brother, whatever his name was. Sully, I actively dislike whenever I have to interact with him. So, no, I'm just not. Uncharted, no.
I am deeply baffled by this particular portrayal. But okay, we'll move on, because what else can I say? Other than I disagree with almost all those characterizations. Almost every one of them I disagree with. But we did the episode.
I like that you play Crash Bandicoot in it.
I like that too. I don't like Crash Bandicoot, but I think it's fun that you get to play in it. I think it's a very...
Well, now we've both wounded the others. So
I think that's an extraordinarily reductive summary of that franchise. But yes, let's move on to the commercial break so I can quench my fury and come back for the last round.
Shh, baby, shit, it's going to be okay.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What does optimism look like? I'm on a quest to find the people who inspire us to dream more and do more. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. I talk to all sorts of people, from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to a hairdresser on Instagram who gives out free haircuts to the homeless, from the CEOs of the world's largest companies to the comedy writer who visited the wreckage of the Titanic. I love talking to leaders, artists, authors, and eccentrics about life, leadership, purpose, mental fitness, human skills, high performance, and other curious things. It leaves me feeling wiser, more inspired, and, well, more optimistic. Because after all, this is a bit of optimism. The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look for it. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Oh, it only made him madder. I tried to whisper sweet nothings to him during the break. It only enraged him further. It came off as patronizing, which was not my intention, but oh well, here we are.
It's been done now.
Adam's furious. Yeah. I don't know what I am.
I think you're sort of gleefully jokering this episode is what you're doing.
No, that's what I usually do. It's now I'm just going with the flow. The flow just happens to be weird. Yeah. What I was going to say is I'm feeling especially agreeable. Mm. So the fact that I blocked Uncharted lets you know how.
Oh, pitch me my darling.
How little of an impact Uncharted made on the artistic landscape. It just doesn't matter. It will be forgotten.
To you. You're very much in the minority.
No. I know I said earlier that this stuff's just their opinions, but this one I'm saying objectively
outside
of the podcast.
You're legitimately wrong objectively by any metric. We're going to move on.
If you had to delete Indiana Jones or Uncharted,
that's not the issue. that's a false issue.
And the answer came to you without a second of hesitation.
Sure,
right?
But that's a false dichotomy. I'm not accepting your false dichotomy.
Nah, it's a real dichotomy.
Go on.
It's a dichotomy. Well, speaking of dichotomies, wait, do I get two more or one more? Okay, speaking of dichotomies, meaning two of. We just covered Dead Space 2, and I believe we deleted it, and we previously covered Dead Space 1 and kept it. I'd flip that. I think Dead Space 2, this is what's funny is, this is a case where I go the other way versus, reverse of the Psychonauts way, meaning I think the degree of refinement in 2 is greater than the amount of, which is totally arbitrarily, just a gut call, of course, the amount of artistic value bound up in the novelty of the ideas in 1, by which I mean being on a haunted, I can't not rip on this for the same thing. It's just aliens, right? Or even the devs who made it would not say, how dare you?
It's just aliens.
I created an original. Yeah. No, they would say it's a love letter to aliens. They would be proud of that. Good for them. Like, I'm not even saying Naughty Dog would shy away from saying it's Indiana Jones, incidentally, but I'm just saying it is. So, right. So it's just aliens. So I'm saying the novelty is more in the fact of, the details we liked and see previous episodes. For example, the HUD being integrated into the suit, the fact that you cut limbs off, headshots isn't what kills them because they're space zombies. Limbs is what kills them. It's different, see? And we're cutting them instead. That core stuff that makes Dead Space great, I think, is great and stays great. And it's not so mind-blowingly innovative that I'm giving it the points for innovation. It really is a craftsmanship award. And in the same way that Alien is a haunted house and Aliens is an action movie, Dead Space is a little more of a haunted house and Dead Space 2 is a little more big, loud, dumb action movie. But I gotta say, I really liked 2 and it felt more tied together as we discussed. It, again, is not a mind-blowing plot line, but I like the idea of the true villain in the end being your own psychic damage from the loss of your wife and or your love interest. I forget if they're married or whatever, but your love interest and that she taunts you throughout for not being able to save her. And when you finally defeat her in your head, that the end shot is him just sitting there coming to terms emotionally with his whatever trauma. But at the same time, there's the standard plot of you got to destroy the marker and stop everyone from becoming space zombies. The parts where you fly in space are demonstrably way better, blah, blah, blah. So like the refinements I felt were leaps and bounds ahead. And I feel like part of the reason we didn't keep 2 is probably because it's a bit much to keep both Dead Spaces. And I agree with that. So I'm arguing that we reverse it and delete 1 and keep 2.
You're making 2 pitches here. This is 2 pitches.
I mean, I don't want to burn 2 slots, but if you say that, then I guess is this the end of my run then? Or I guess I'll just say, then I guess I'm pitching that we keep
Dead Space 2. Yeah, I think that's what you should
do. And I guess we'll keep both.
I think that's what you should do.
All right.
You should pitch to keep.
Well, then when we get, even before we get to 100, I'll be pitching we delete 1, because I do think 2 is a bit much. But if you were deciding in a void, I guess, then I guess I'm just pitching keep 2. Right? Because I'm not allowed.
I know what you said. I'm responding to what you're saying.
Right. Oh, also, this was my official excuse to rip on Callisto Protocol because we'll probably never cover it. Callisto Protocol sucks. Done.
Sucks? It's a little strong. I didn't like it as
much. Yeah, sucks.
But it
a dreary drudge through.
You are
just like,
you are
all right,
just a
we're
you
doing
are Krampus
this now.
Right now is what you are.
Really? I thought I'd been super. I let all your picks on.
That's
except
not
Uncharted.
The, that's
that
not
the
criteria.
Dude, I don't like Witcher 3 or Assassin's Creed 2. Both of those games are boring
to
me.
Wonderful games, and you know it, you monster. No, so
I don't know what to do other than give
I'm
you
just
my
saying,
whole
you're,
self
you're,
like
you're,
that.
You're
these are my
on
thoughts.
Poor Callisto Protocol, which is not as bad as you're making it sound, but it's not as good as Dead Space. I agree with that.
The combat innovation that they're holding up with Dead Space is that
it's punch out.
Dodge
yeah.
by wiggling the stick left and right, and then you systematically beat their limbs off at the shoulders. You beat their arms off. That's the mechanic, is you beat their limbs off. It just makes no sense. It's just stupid.
It's
on
not
its
as
face.
Good. I agree with anyway. You. It's not as good. I don't feel as strongly as you do.
Super buggy, too. Game breaking.
Oh,
bugs
I didn't have
frequently.
That problem. Okay, interesting.
Oh, it was in
oh
the
no!
News.
I believe you.
It was
I
the
believe
thing.
Anytime anybody says bugs, I believe them. That's just the thing with video games now. All right, so am I keeping Dead Space 2? I don't want to keep this game if we're keeping one, and I think one matters for the reasons.
But I don't want
it. I get all it. Right. So we're sort of on opposite ends.
So I feel like you took my pitch as not what it is.
Well,
you know
I don't.
What I mean,
I would not say sucks. Yes to flipping them, if that helps you. Yeah, I
okay,
would not
great.
Say yes to flipping.
At least it's at least you're taking yeah. the pitch as what I
right,
meant
right,
to
right.
Be.
I would yeah. not flip them. And I
good. All right, so we've blocked an equal number
so
of each other.
So
who's
assholes.
The Krampus? We're both Krampus. Exactly. That's my point.
I will
explain
why. Yeah,
I
will
I'm
explain
interested.
Why. It's honestly the argument you would make for Psychonauts. I would make it here for Dead Space. In that, like, there's a little bit of a nostalgia factor. I think this, like, I played Dead Space when it came out, so that's part of what colors my perception of it. I just think everything that Dead Space is good at, all the things that are truly great about the game, all of those things were in the first one, and I prefer the horror vibe more in one than two. Two still has it, but two is like a little bit of a lightened version of it. Two is definitely more refined.
Yeah. Do you like Alien better than
yes,
Aliens?
I do.
Are you one
I
of those
like
guys?
I do like Alien better than Aliens.
Oh. I think two is
two
more
is
fun.
More fun. Okay. There's no disputing that. A lot of Alien is like her working on weird like fucking tech stuff and you're like, what even is that?
Or just like check out how
yeah.
cool the set is and you're like,
it
is.
Very
it
cool.
is very cool.
You're right. I like the sort of contained thing. And I think that's I think that's what a perfect experience of almost anything is. This sort of like perfectly crafted, all contained right. thing. And Dead Space 1 has it, and everything that mattered about the world was in Dead Space 1. The rest of my comments I would stick
with
too.
Is the one I care least about of the five things I'm pitching,
okay.
so I don't care.
I'm glad.
So there, you can't hurt me. All right.
Okay. All right. Time to wind this down with my final pitch.
Adam's
That's final,
final pick. He plucks it from his beard and presents it.
I do. I really do. Okay, man. Here it is. You know this is coming. I really think we need to reconsider the way we landed on Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. Here's why. I listened to that episode a couple of times. I think everybody was right about everything they said, except for the main reason that you said you were deleting this game is, one, you don't like the trajectory that video games took after it, which, okay, and two, that there is a Call of Duty you like better that you would keep instead of this one. And I cite to you, that is not a good reason not to keep this game. This game defines the first-person shooter genre in the subsequent, I don't know, 15 years. It's been the apex, like the defining game. I really think it's a mistake to not have it on this hard drive, and I don't think we should keep or delete it based on which one you would prefer to keep. I'm happy to have an episode about that one that you'd prefer, and then we can sort it out after the fact. But I think on its merits, it deserves to be kept. Have I at least moved you with this plea?
Well, I see you say I'm a Krampus, or like, then you just bring this
yeah,
stuff that
yeah, yeah.
it's you're setting me up to have to do.
Well,
this.
You don't have to.
No,
do it.
it's a tool of the government to convince young people to throw their lives away.
No,
overseas
it is,
in
no, it does
like pointless conflicts. It's a propaganda tool for the military. I can't be on the drive. I'd feel ashamed of myself.
Because so you're keeping it out for your.
I mean, yeah, in part because of the articles that came out
I
recently about how they yeah. literally have handlers from the military who inform them on how to design the game to best recruit new people to the military. And I can't fuck with that.
So
no.
So just to be clear, because this is now we're getting into, I think, fairly dangerous territory.
Man, it used to be a tool
to
teach
kids
about the horrors of World War II, and now it's this.
I would argue it's pretty difficult to distinguish between the impacts of either one, really. You know what I mean? I think that if it's been a military recruiting tool, and I think I agree with you that it has.
But the fact that the developers have actually have meetings
yeah,
with
yeah.
and take money from the military to affect the way the game is made is that's like it can't go on the drive because of doping. Like it's
and
equivalent
I think that's
to that.
A silly,
to me. It's like
you're
not
a
real
reason.
Art. You're not a piece of art.
I'm
you
so glad you said that.
By business,
I'm so
interests.
Glad you said that because I think that's a dumb reason.
Because something I like
no.
is compromised in that
I
way.
Don't,
I'm
no,
sure.
No. I don't think anything should be kept out because it violates a set of rules that aren't what we're evaluating. You know what I mean? Like I can.
So there's no political, or like, I understand some people will say, Swaim, you let your politics affect your gaming. But I'm sorry, politics is life, is art, is everything. So what I'm saying is, I have my beliefs though. Like, why would I put, that's like saying, and I'm not saying that it's as extreme as, but to make the thing clear, because it's all that comes to mind, because it's a handy example. It's like saying, you know, a Leni Riefenstahl film has some of the greatest editing of all time. You're like, yeah, but it's still Nazi propaganda. Why would I put it on a list of greatest films
of all
time?
Because a film isn't just editing.
And I'm not trying to compare them, except in the way where I'm like, if something does offend your sense of morality, can you put it on a best of list that you're curating?
Of course. Do you think military action or killing is good? Like when I push
GTA 5
that I think that like going around town raising crime is
that
good?
A society should be chaos and organized crime.
Right, of course not.
No,
I
know that.
I understand as a person who consumes art that I don't have to agree with every piece of it. Like I think this is actually a deeply uncritical approach to how you include or not include something that you have political grievances with. And I'll tell you why. It's not just that. Of course they deal with like military stuff, and I think it's wrong. I'm not in favor of it. I don't think it's good. But we're evaluating the impact that this game has had on video games. And is it a fun video game? And on both counts, it is extraordinary.
As I admit in the episode, I think of all the modern ones, it's
absolutely
the best one by far. And the story's the least objectionable
absolutely
to me. I actually really liked the game, as you heard. My issue is with the way the business is now run.
And I don't think that's good.
So I guess you're right.
I don't think that's
right.
A good thing. I really agree that it's bad.
Well, then if it can go in the ledger with me having said that, which
did.
Obviously it did because I just said it and it was recorded, then fine. All
okay.
Right.
That's
if you're saying, I want to put this on here and it represents that the game is
the
quality.
The game is quality. Correct.
Then I can't tell you, no, it's not. But I'm saying, if we're creating a hard drive that I think best represents humanity, no, I would call this a blotch on humanity's record.
So I think that's a really amorphous.
It's an embarrassment.
I'm with you on that. I'm completely with you on that.
Yeah.
But I think that the goal of best,
as is war.
Like
the I would want to hide war from the aliens. I don't want the aliens to know
we
that gotta
we do
this dumb shit where we go and murder each other.
A completely different hard drive, if that's what you're trying to do. Like none of the like Last of Us gone.
I know.
BioShock gone. I mean, like the fact that we have military conflicts is a fact.
I know, and I accept that. As you've seen, I've put military. I think Spec Ops: The Line would get capped
and I understand,
in my mind because it's critical of the subject.
I understand there's some people who now think I'm some monstrous shill who doesn't care about morality. Okay, you can think that if you want, and I.
No, you just have clear opinions about what makes this list and why.
Yeah,
and how
I just don't
it.
Think
I totally
that
get
this,
that
the job of this hard drive is to censor what exists for moral reasons. Or if we are going to do that, let's have a fucking moral hard drive conversation, because that's going to be a long one, you know?
Well, because then you'd have to dig into, and I know, everyone's
right.
a hypocrite, or
right.
like, everything's arbitrary in the sense of the depth that you dig into. I'm not going to find out the private life of every developer and see
and
if anyone's a creep and I have to stop playing their game, etc. Just as like I would still watch The Usual Suspects, even knowing, you know, the director
know,
and the
man.
Star are
yeah.
creeps. But it's
yeah.
but I was like, I don't know. But this is literally, I don't know. I guess I just feel differently because we're putting our names next to a top 100
and saying
list.
These are the best games. You know, like I get it.
Right. Best feels like it includes
let me
moral
just tell you,
dimensions.
I,
but if you're saying it doesn't, then
I don't
accept.
Think that we've defined it enough to use it as a criteria. And I think we're selectively applying it against Call of Duty. That's my argument. You can still do it.
Okay.
You can still do it. I just like, okay,
no,
fair enough.
It. I don't want to be Krampus.
I'll say this. I'm not going to censor, according to my morals, what goes on this list. You know, unless it's like... demonstrably proving something that I'm like, no, I'm sorry. That's causing people to murder one another or something. You know what I mean? If we're in that space, I don't know. And maybe you'd argue.
And I don't even believe Call of Duty causes like spree shootings or mass shootings. I believe those people have
right.
issues that would have found a
think.
Way to manifest themselves. But I do believe when I literally read, oh, they even have meetings about it and money changes hands where they decide what to do. I just think that's morally.
That sucks.
Meh.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, that just sucks.
That's not great.
Okay, but we've said, but I've run that into the ground. I got all my woke points. It. People who hate wokeness know that they can hate me now. So
people
good.
Who
it's
hate,
all established.
Centrists, I guess, can hate me.
People who like wokeism can like me. Everyone knows what team they're on and I'm on in our relationship, because okay. That's how we reduce each other to single points of information.
Yes, we do.
It's useful. Yeah. It's handy in this modern okay. workaday world.
All right, what you got for me, sir?
Does that mean it's my last thing? You were right, the episode did go
long. Yeah, it always
does. Man, I never think they will.
Because we like each other, bro. We like to talk.
I know. I know.
You have stuff.
I have mental problems.
You got stuff planned.
I need to bring back, I used to do a podcast about my mental problems, and I'm thinking it might be time for it to come back.
I'll do an episode.
Because I have a need to express how poorly it's going right now. In some fashion, it's leaking into the video games podcast, and the video games people don't want to hear that. It's like not
this,
their.
They
want to
skip this cutscene.
Anyway,
yeah, skip it.
Exactly. Yeah, but we're back in the modern era of unskippable cutscenes. Or at least you have to pause and select skip cutscene, and then it says, "Are you sure we really spent a long time
emotional.
Writing this?" And you go, "Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I do want to skip it." You feel kind of bad, don't you, when it's like a really
expensive
game?
The first time through,
game.
Especially. I'm like, I feel like I need to see
it. Yeah.
Him. All right. Hit it, sir.
All right. So I will say, by way of edging the audience a little bit, I was strongly considering, and I believe I will still probably in the future, especially as we ramp up towards 100, towards a full drive, in other words, I will probably argue towards deleting one of the Half-Lives, because it does seem odd
to
me. Now, we try to judge stuff in a vacuum, and we did a Orange Month for October, and we did, you know, Half-Life 1, 2, and Alyx, and we kept them all because each one fucking knocks your socks off when you're playing it. But I don't know that I'm like, we all need to settle down now. But rather than burn a slot on that, I save this one for last because I do think it's genuine and heartfelt and touching. I don't know that it will convince Adam, but I'm sure he'll grant that my feelings are valid because he always has. So I just kind of want to share a spiel about Outer Wilds. Not even about Outer Wilds, but about a handful of games that I know we'll never cover, because even though I could probably milk talking about them for an hour, like I could probably milk an hour of conversation out. I would really, they're very simple early games from the early days of PC gaming, and they're children's games. And, I don't know that it's like that interesting to, you know, children's games tend to be simple, and they are, and you get to the bottom of it quick. So I don't know that we need to cover them, but, there's nostalgia is a very palpable quality. I think for most people, especially when you reach middle age, you can like call out. I'm starting to be able to crystallize. I can tell when I like something, how much it's for nostalgia and how much it's objective. And I feel like I am getting more and more objective about that. You know what I mean? Like I can call myself on, oh, you just like that for nostalgia. You
it's
can
easier.
See that it's bad,
yeah,
but
it's
you like it because you were 10. It's easier to see. And, so these are games that I know there's a strong nostalgia factor, but I know that a lot of our listeners are in our same generation. So I just can't get over, like, these may be among the most nostalgic things for me. And by nostalgic, I don't just mean that they are nostalgic, but they are also, even when I played them the first time, they gave me a feeling of loneliness, but good loneliness, winsomeness, a feeling of like strangeness but comfort. And they're the Cyan games. So most people know Cyan because of Myst, which we may cover someday, but I don't think we'll cover their early games that were essentially fancy hypercard stacks that are games like Cosmic Osmo and Manhole. And they're available on Steam for like 99 cents a piece. Oh, and Spelunks with an X at the end. And I mentioned them in passing a few times, and I wanted to do a spiel on them so I can stop mentioning them. But I did just play them all again on Steam. They're nothing. They're just like clicking around and some text and some simple puzzles. But goddamn, is it like a morphine drip that makes me just feel fine and like everything's okay. And I like highly recommend, if you like Myst, looking into Cyan's early work, because I do think it's interesting what they were trying to do with the very limited things that were available to them at that time to make a game. And their decision to aim it at children is deserving of artistic consideration. And this is all bringing me to, you know, they went on to do Myst and Riven and become more and more adult. And now they're doing games that no one has heard of in that vein, like Abduction, which is good and very similar to Myst and Riven, but no one has heard of. And this is all to say that Outer Wilds, which is not by Cyan, also makes me feel that way. And that is incredible to me, considering that it is a modern game that I have no memory of interacting with as a child, because I can't. It makes me feel like I'm staying home sick from school watching fucking Under the Umbrella Tree or Muppet Babies or some shit, where I'm like, damn, I feel like I'm 10 again. And the Outer Wilds really made me feel that way. I also think, for all of its clunkiness, given that it's a physics game with quote unquote real physics, which always ends up being clunky, the Clockwork Universe and the, you know, see the previous episode, but Adam, you know all the reasons the innovations are there. The gameplay is not there.
It's not.
In turn, if you want tightness, but I'm not even arguing that we should keep it.
Oh,
I
no,
just wanted
you,
to
you
talk
you should argue,
about
that, argue that we should keep it. Go ahead, make your argument.
Okay, then I would keep it for those emotional reasons. I guess what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, I really try to fit video games into the art box because I really care about art and I really want to, I really do think, I mean, I think everyone grants video games are art in the basic sense, like they fulfill the definition, but I really like serious, sophisticated, adult, let's say, for lack of a better word, mature is a better word, artistic explorations done through interactive media. And I think Outer Wilds is one of those, and we rarely get those.
Yep. I woke up this morning at 6 a.m., Mike, and
got myself a gun.
I thought about this game because I knew you're going to bring it up. I've gone on walks numerous times in the last 4 or 5 months and listened to the song When the Universe Collapses as I've been walking, and it brings tears to my eyes. I think this game is really special in terms of ideas, like puzzle ideas, and some of the narrative ideas, not all of them, but some of them are really good. It's the ultimate like lopsided game where I think some things it does are just not good, like just not quite, like not even like functional. They're not really good. And there's weird, lumpy things about it that aren't as smooth as you'd like. But I think I'm inclined to agree with you, Mike, that this game is it is special. I can't think of another game like it. It made me think about
Forgotten City, ironically.
Yeah.
And only in the sense that I'm like, it's here because of the ideas, not because of the.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is one of the only games that I feel like, yeah, the execution is not the best, but man, the ideas are really, really, really good.
Top shelf.
Yeah, top shelf. And I think it's fair for it to be on the hard drive. I actually regretted deleting it almost like 10 minutes after the episode. Nice. So I think we should keep it.
And did I relent on Call of Duty?
Yes, you did.
I'm already. Okay. Yeah.
Is that okay?
Okay. I'm comfortable with that. Okay. No, yeah, keep it. I'm just looking at the spreadsheet, making sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. Well, so let's go through and talk about what we have kept briefly, and then we will move on and start a brand new year of game reviews. We got some great stuff this year already.
Yeah.
In the can.
Good game of the year episode well.
That was good.
Listen to that if you haven't caught it.
Okay.
And every time we end the year, and then we start the year with a hard drive app. So you won't have to worry about this nonsense till next year.
Presumably. Okay. Here's what's on the drive.
We might do it at the 6 month mark.
Yeah,
that's
man.
True.
We might.
Okay.
We're gunslingers here. We'll do it.
Current status of the drive.
Here's what's on there. Super Mario Odyssey, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, BioShock Infinite, The Last of Us, Portal 2, Super Metroid, Halo, somehow, Fallout New Vegas, Red Dead Redemption 1, Minecraft, Red Dead Redemption 2, Super Mario World, GoldenEye 007, Dead Space 1, Resident Evil 2, the remake from 2019, Walking Dead Season 1, Shadow of the Colossus, Assassin's Creed
the
2.
Blue Point remake.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed 2. Subnautica. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Marvel Spider-Man. It is a good game. Mortal Kombat 11. The Witcher 3. Titanfall 2. Destiny 2. Last of Us 2. BioShock, the original. Inside. Hades.
We decided to keep Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 plus 2, which was a very convenient game for us. Psychonauts.
Right. Like Ultimate.
Yeah. Yeah. Disco Elysium. Bloodborne. We're removing Forgotten City. I'll fix that.
That's right.
Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Sifu.
Yeah.
Elden Ring.
Oh, that's a good run.
Yep. Gone Home.
Mm-hmm.
Braid. Outer Wilds now. Sonic 2. Return of Obra Dinn. Stardew Valley, Half-Life, Half-Life 2, Half-Life Alyx. You're right, it's
all
too
right,
many.
All right.
Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, and Super Mario 64.
I gotta say, it's also, and yet as I say this, I'm like, I don't know what I would cut from that team, but it also feels weird to have Super Mario Odyssey, Super Mario 64, and Super Mario World, which I assume will make, or yeah, it did already make it, but it also doesn't. I'm like, yeah, but each one would make
they're
it.
They're all very good.
Right. Just all right. That's a problem for the future.
Yeah, I think if I had to pick stuff that maybe later down the line we'll definitely reconsider, I would say we don't need both Red Deads, maybe.
Red Dead 1 is going to slip.
Yeah, yep. I think
Red
so.
Dead Red Dead 2 is a good game.
Yeah. We don't need 3 Half-Lives. I think we could at least pick 2, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I might be inclined on the Super Mario conversation. Those are the ones that stand out to me right now. Okay.
I know MK11 stands out to other fighting fans. I really stumped for it. It got kept because of my argument in a hard drive episode.
Yes.
So, you know, fighting fans, I guess Soul Calibur 4 would also be up there for me. But if you are a true fighting aficionado, I'd love to hear people say, like, no, man, you're a casual. MK11's not where it's at. The ultimate fighting game is blank. Like, yeah, let me know,
you know,
if you've got something that deserves to be the fighting game on the drive. But I really liked MK11. I really, really liked it.
I read a couple of articles about MK11 a year or so after it came out, or maybe a year. Uh-huh. And they were very much like, this is the best fighting game of all time. So you're not alone in that argument.
It seemed like the way it was broken down by frame.
Yeah.
It just seemed to have everything in the way that Ultimate has everything added.
That's how it seems to me too, but I'm also kind of a casual. Right. So guys, just some things we'll definitely cover in the coming years. We've heard you about JRPGs. We're in the middle of preparing for a Chrono Trigger episode. So spoilers, mm-hmm. that's coming. We will be covering that. We will also be covering racing games, a thing that we have talked about, but never quite landed on the right one. We will be covering some. And we will be covering at least one flight sim type game. And there's other genres, but those are the three that scream for coverage that we don't have yet. So we'll be getting to them.
What racing game are we covering?
We haven't figured it out yet, but we were talking about one of the
I don't think it's ever even been mentioned.
No, the Forzas. We were talking about the Forzas. And Gran Turismo.
I like Forza Horizon 5.
Yeah.
Hey, it was IGN's game of the year.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, maybe we'll talk about that.
So crazy to me.
I would also argue for F-Zero.
So was, I think Microsoft Flight Simulator was several people's game of the year.
Hey, man, people fucking love it.
It's an achievement of whatever it is. Yeah.
So that's not the one I'm thinking of, but we'll cover at least something in that genre. So that's stuff to look forward to this year as we continue this great journey. Mike, you know, I love you. You're my favorite Krampus.
Love you.
Love you too. Bye.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce.
Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.